The founder and head of every religion I know about is a man. The founder and head of the Christian faith is God, who revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. You and I can trust Christ without fear or hesitation for everything, because he is even more than the Son of God. He is very God himself. After healing the man of the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus made some of the most startling claims that ever came from his lips. What he said is not fully comprehensible by any human. Nevertheless, there is much we can understand, and thus we should consider these verses carefully and prayerfully. In answer to the Pharisees' accusation regarding the Sabbath, our Lord replied in John 5, verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." God the Father rested on the seventh day following his work of creation. But were the Lord Jesus to rest one day from his watchfulness and preservation, where would any of us be? Thus, when the Lord Jesus declared, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," he meant that even as the Father never ceases in his provision of love and mercy, so he, being one with the Father, in the same manner, cares for our needs. The healing of the impotent man was a work of necessity and mercy, which the Scriptures permit and encourage on any day, including the Sabbath. This is not in any way a breaking of the fourth commandment. The Pharisees were so legalistic and strict in their interpretation of the law that they overlooked the importance of love and grace. We are living in an age when people have thoughtlessly gone in the opposite direction. Instead of being too strict with the law, they are completely ignoring the law. Sabbath day observance appears to be a thing of the past for multitudes of people. How we need to give heed to Mark, the second chapter, verses 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You see, man is not a machine. He is a living soul and needs at least one day a week when he can rest and withdraw from his usual routine to give time and thought to the service of God. Our Lord's reply to the criticism of the Pharisees created even greater problems. Notice verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Now, it's obvious from what the Pharisees said that the Lord Jesus spoke of his relationship to the Father as a son in a unique sense. It is true that all who believe on the Lord Jesus are the sons of God. But the Lord made it clear that he was the Son of God in a way in which no one else could ever be. Not only was he God's Son, at the same time, he was very God himself, equal with God the Father. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Christ is seen as our great God and our Savior. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, we read of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 19 reads, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In this verse, our Lord presents the first in a series of well-grounded claims for his deity. The great fact revealed in this verse is the unity of the Father and Son. Not only can the Son do nothing of himself, even more, he refuses to do anything of himself. "In everything and at all times," he prayed, "not my will, but thine be done." Indeed, it could be said of him in the words of Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." In verse 20, we read, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father kept no secrets. The Son was shown all things that the Father did. The greater works are doubtless those presented in the next several verses. As these greater works are performed by Christ, people would marvel. They would recognize him as the Son of God in a unique sense, proven by his miracles and power. But some would not receive him. If sinful, erring man would only realize the shortness of time and the necessity of making an immediate commitment to Christ, scores of people who marvel at Christ would believe on Christ as Savior and Lord. Now consider the greater works of which Jesus spoke. Verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." This has to do with the power of giving life, which no human possesses. Only God can give life. Jesus declared of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not only does Christ possess the power to give physical life, which he demonstrated so well at the tomb of Lazarus, but even more importantly, he gives spiritual life. Without Christ, people are dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. How can a dead man do anything? Christ is the life giver. This is the special work of the Son, committed unto him by the Father. Man is dead because of his sin, and if he is to receive new life, it must come from Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Verse 22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, we read in Romans 2:16. The day is coming when everyone will bow before the great judge of the universe. And I read in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Is it not interesting that judgment is the special work of the Son of God? Neither the Father nor the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, have any special part in this. He who has tasted of the judgment for all humanity is the one chosen to judge the world. The Father committed all judgment to the Son. Verse 23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. It is amazing to consider the number of people who claim to believe in God, but they give no allegiance to Jesus Christ. Can a person be saved by believing in God only? Well, this verse makes it clear, doesn't it, that unless one receives Christ into his life, it is impossible for him to honor God in whom he professes to believe. The Son is to have the same respect and honor as the Father, for he is equal with the Father. Let me ask you, have you believed on Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, I believe in God, and that's all that's necessary." The verses here don't say that. Read these verses over again, found in John, the 5th chapter. You must believe in Jesus, the Son, to be saved. That's why God sent his Son to this world, to die for your sins. Why don't you trust him as your Savior and Lord right now? Settle it before God the Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus is more than a good man, a great teacher, or a martyr. He is the Son of the living God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for those who are lost. He is pleading before the throne that unsaved men and women will turn to him. And I pray, Father, that his prayers will be answered today, that many listening to this broadcast will come to Christ. For I pray in his name. Amen.